Hey, everyone. Welcome to Locked On Lakers for Tuesday. Brian Kamenetsky, Andy Kamenetsky. Andy, the Lakers try to bounce back from a very disappointing loss on Sunday to the Pelicans. They get bad injury news from LeBron James and sort of decent injury news from Anthony Davis, but it leads to the huge question, what are we doing here? That's the one we'll answer next.
You are Locked On Lakers. Your daily Los Angeles Lakers podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Your team every day.
Thanks to everybody for making Locked On Lakers your first listen of every day, Monday through Friday. Get this thing up for you as fast as we can so you always have fresh Lakers content ready for you whenever you need it. Locked On Lakers on YouTube, a great way to get the podcast early, particularly on non-game days. So we appreciate all the support the channel is getting over there. Make another Locked On podcast your second one, perhaps Locked On Mavericks after Tuesday night's game with our friend Nick Angstadt. Want to let you know as well that today's episode of Locked On Lakers is brought to you by NBA Top Shot. Top Shot is the future of being an NBA fan. Own officially licensed rare NFTs of the greatest moments from NBA history. Sign up today at LockedOnNBATopShot.com. Let's get into what happened on Monday, Andy. The Lakers had a rare practice. They actually did have a full practice. Granted, LeBron James didn't participate, but Anthony Davis did. And so the Lakers are at an interesting crossroads here as the games are starting to wind down. LeBron is listed as doubtful, which is a downgrade from where he has been, obviously, playing. But Anthony Davis is being listed as doubtful, which is an actual upgrade from where he's been listed, which is out. So with the Lakers in a really tight battle now, just to stay in the play-in, they face some really interesting questions about when do you put guys back on the court? How quickly do you try to do it? If you're the players, how fast do you want to get back? How much preservation to it? This is a really fascinating moment because it's not like the team was all that good when all these guys are playing anyway.
Yeah. And also too, I think for LeBron and AD, they're very different questions and the context is very different. With LeBron, there's the concept of, because he is in all likelihood not going to play in Dallas. And it would be very surprising if he were available to play in Thursday or Friday's upcoming games against either the Jazz or the Pelicans, respectively, it would be, I think, pretty shocking if he played in both. Like, I imagine if
they said it's possible, at least, that, you know, on Monday, Frank Vogel did say it's possible he could play in any one of the next games that aren't Tuesday night.
Right.
But he's not going to play in back-to-backs. Right. And it seems weird that he'd play in altitude.
Right, exactly. It strikes me as extremely unlikely. And then with LeBron, you get into the whole question of, and this is something that I raised like 3 weeks ago, like the idea of, is, given LeBron's mileage, given the injuries that are starting to play a toll on his career, given the lack of the availability that used to be a given and now you cannot count on, the way it used to be when everybody thought of LeBron as a cyborg, and the idea that the Lakers want to stay in the LeBron business moving forward and continue this relationship, you can question whether or not, practically speaking, that this is the best idea for the Lakers, but separate conversation for a separate day. If this is the direction they want to go in, you only have so many great minutes from LeBron left, like great minutes on both sides of the ball, playing true championship level basketball, hopefully with a championship level roster. How much of that do you want to burn with the remainder of this season? But then the flip side is for AD.
Well, hold on a second. Don't get to LeBron yet, because it's an interesting, like, your presumption is like there's a finite amount of LeBron left. Like every minute essentially that he plays kind of taps from the well of what is available to him. Because the counter to that, And the counter to that is, you know, that's not necessarily how injuries in the body works. I think broadly you're correct that there, you know, you got to look at the end of the rainbow here.
We're getting a lot. It's the way it's worked for the three of the last four seasons.
All I'm saying is, like, I don't know if playing in the last five games means that he's going to be risked. You know, there's going to be a serious risk for him any higher than it otherwise would be. going into next year for a couple reasons. The first being, it looks like they're going to get a pretty long layoff. So he's going to have a lot of time to heal. And I don't mean to say that next year the Lakers shouldn't be worried about injuries. They absolutely should. And you can never assume that LeBron is going to be healthy for even most of a season anymore. I just don't think you can do that. I just don't know if playing in the last four or five games makes much of a difference for that. Like, I will say this, if there's a risk of injury that could become chronic or lingering or nagging or whatever, like the trainers put that in front of him and LeBron's medical people and the Lakers, sit him, because that's not worth it. If it's just, you know, you're going to need an extra 2 weeks of rehab into the summertime, he can play.
Maybe he can play, but that's not the same thing as should play. And that's not the same thing.
2 weeks of rehab, and there's no extra damage. Like, if you sit for another 3 weeks,
going to know. The problem is you won't know until it's done. And then in the meantime, like, are these 160 minutes for LeBron that you really want to burn? Like, if you believe at all that there is any type of reservoir, and I do, because this is the way, you know, Kobe used to talk about this with things like dunks, for example, pre-Achilles Kobe, but, you know, that period after they won the two championships before he tore the Achilles, you know, Kobe was still playing at a high level, but you could start to see the relative wear and tear catching up to him. And he used to say things like, I only got so many of these dunks left in these legs. Mm-hmm. You know, it's similar to the way you hear like veteran NFL players say, like, look, I got X amount of tackles left in me. Do you want me to make them in practice or during a game? And I think we're at this period with LeBron. So again, like, say five games, 160 minutes, it's going to take some toll on your body, even if it is not crippling. It is a toll. Do you want to expend that toll, you know, in a quest for the 11 seed? Just from a practical standpoint.
No, look.
Different than a question for AD.
Right.
I think it's a different question.
Okay. So, and I think the answer for LeBron to some degree is going to be, how many games does he miss? Let's say he doesn't come back until, you know, misses Tuesday, misses Thursday and Friday. Like, the way he was talking about it after the game on Sunday, listed as doubtful today. Vogel all but said he's not playing Tuesday. It is hard to believe he's going to be back. And so let's say he misses three or four or five games. They only have eight left, I believe, including Tuesday. They could be two games behind San Antonio. They could be a game and a half behind San Antonio with three or four to play. That has a significant impact, I think, on the answer to the question, because at least currently, and I don't think it's going to change the math, the Lakers have to be clear of San Antonio. A tie goes to the Spurs, I believe, based on conference record.
Just like every team.
Right. Woe is the team that actually loses a tiebreaker to the Lakers. You and your squad need to look in the mirror, because that is not good.
I think the Lakers G League team has the tiebreaker.
I believe so. I actually think they might be better off sending the G League team to the playoffs instead of this group. I am only half kidding. But you're right. And I think the LeBron part of it is more settled because he's LeBron and because he has played at least on one side of the ball, like MVP caliber. He might win a scoring title. Like, he's been really good. But the AD question is much different. And I think the point you're getting at is worth exploring. So let's do that next.
Locked On Lakers brought to you by Top Shot. NBA Top Shot is the officially licensed NFT of the NBA. Connect with a passionate community of NBA fans across the globe. Build your collection of your favorite moments from NBA history. It's the future of what being an NBA fan looks like. It's part trading cards, part stock market, part fantasy sports, with a built-in loyalty program. NBA Top Shot has evolved trading cards and made it easier to buy, sell, and trade by removing the hassle of card grading, shoe boxes, binders, all that like old prehistoric stuff. Their 24/7 peer-to-peer marketplace lets you scroll through all your favorite players and teams. And once you find the moment you've been looking for, you can buy it in just a couple of clicks. But why would I buy something that I can just watch on YouTube for free, you might ask? Because it's about having ownership in the stock market of the NBA's greatest moments, unbuyable, once-in-a-lifetime experiences. For example, last year, Top Shot flew out a group of fans to Phoenix for Game 5 of the NBA Finals just for having Phoenix Suns moments in their collection. And the following week, Top Shot flew out a group of fans to New York for the NBA draft. And these collectors got to have dinner with four future first round picks the night before they were drafted and then play basketball with Obi Toppin from the Knicks. So that's, yeah, pretty cool. And if you sign up for the Top Shot today, the best way to start is by getting yourself a starter pack. You can pull like the moment of a superstar, LeBron, Kevin Durant, or star rookies like Cade Cunningham, Evan Mobley for just $9. So head over to lockedon.nbatopshot.com to start building your collection today.
Locked On Lakers also brought to you by Truebill. So it's tax season. Like, you got to get your stuff together. And I'm going through all my records for 2021. And what I noticed is, you know, especially when you work in media, like, you subscribe to all kinds of things. You're on this newsletter, you're on that subscription, you have this media service, you have that transcription service, you know, something for your blog, whatever. And a lot of it you stop using and you don't realize you're still like subscribed and paying for it. So I mean, I realize I'm only using like hundreds of dollars on stuff that I need to get rid of. And first thing I did once I was done, you know, with my little spreadsheet, was I went to Truebill and I signed up for that, because these free trials, these like sort of renewing subscriptions, they're all business scams. They're out to get you. So don't let greedy corporations pocket your money. So you download Truebill and you take control of your subscriptions. It's the new app that lets you identify and stop paying for subscriptions you don't need, want, or simply forgot about. And on average, people save up to $720 a year with Truebill. And like, that's easy to do. This stuff really piles up. Your Truebill concierge is there when you need them to cancel unwanted subscriptions so you don't have to. Truebill has over 2 million users and has helped them save over $100 million, like Matthew B, our guy, who says, in a matter of seconds, I saved $660 for the year on my DirecTV bill, saved $120 for the year on my SiriusXM bill, and I saved $840 a year on car insurance. So don't fall for subscription scams. Start canceling today at Truebill.com/LockedOnNBA. Go right now, Truebill.com/LockedOnNBA. It could save you thousands a year. So we'll get to AD here in a second. Before we do, I just wanted to note that there was, I thought, the most interesting part of practice on Monday and Vogel's availability. He's the only one who spoke. He was asked sort of like about the difficulty of the year, what has made it so disappointed, what's made it so hard. And he actually talked about how he feels ownership over LeBron's legacy. Like, part of this is like he feels some stewardship over the final years of LeBron's career, obviously still playing at a high level. And there's a lot of disappointment that they can't do better for him, which I thought was kind of cool. And shows, I think, the way that Vogel cares about his players and is invested in them. But what's stuck out to me, Andy, is that Frank Vogel cares about this in terms of just how it impacts the way people will talk about LeBron, LeBron's legacy, how we remember him, about a million times more, I think, than the average Laker fan does. Not that people don't like LeBron, but I don't think anybody is particularly interested in his legacy insofar as they are fans of him. It's much more transactional. They care about LeBron's success because LeBron's success means success for the Lakers, not so much success for LeBron.
Yeah, I mean, this whole thing has been pretty transactional from the outset, the relationship mm-hmm. between LeBron and Laker fans and this city. And it's had its high moments, you know, the championship season beyond just title. I think, you know, the role LeBron played in stewarding the organization through Kobe's death, mm-hmm. I don't think can be overstated. And that was a lot to put on LeBron. And, you know, more than anybody, I think he really carried that weight. And he did it really, I think, emotionally and in a way that I think resonated with him. I think it resonated with the rest of the team, the organization, and with fans.
Yeah, I think that's the closest moment he's had yes. with Laker fans by a mile.
But, you know, we've talked about this before, Brian. Like, his relationship with this organization and the fans began in a disconnected, aloof way. And I think it's in a period right now, not entirely his fault, it's a little bit in the sense of what we know about him pushing for Russ and then the lack of accountability that he has seen, the distance that he's wanted to seemingly maintain from that, you know, around the deadline and stuff, which I think has led to more perceived aloof and distance. But just his legacy was cemented before he arrived here, you know, and in certain respects, I think from a Laker fan's perspective, there's not a ton that he can do other than win championships that's really going to build it from their perspective. Like, you know, they wish him well, as you said, but unless it amounts to championships, like, I don't think the average Laker fan is going to be that excited at the prospect of him passing Kareem in a Laker jersey when Kareem is seen as much more of a Laker than LeBron ever was.
It's going to be a fascinating moment. I think, look, LeBron gets it. He's known this from the minute he arrived here, that it's like, it's not going to be, you know, he will never be, he could win four championships in a row and he would never be the greatest Laker of all time. But like, if the comparison I always make is if Kobe had decided somehow to end his career playing three seasons in, not Boston, because that would have been different, but like three seasons with the Knicks or three seasons with, you know, the Heat or someone, a lot of Lakers fans would have followed him. The loyalty would have followed him somewhere else, and they would have maintained their loyalty to the Lakers, but also their loyalty to Kobe. If LeBron goes somewhere else, you know, the people who were fans of LeBron before will stay fans of LeBron, but the people who aren't, well, you know, they're done.
Kobe had fandom unlike you and I have ever seen for any athlete in any sport ever. I've never seen anything like the fervency of Kobe fandom. I've never experienced anything like it.
So let's talk about AD, because the flip side of the what are we doing here, should guys come back and play, Davis, as we noted in the first segment, listed as doubtful for Tuesday's game, but Vogel left the door open that he could play in any game that follows that. Seems unlikely you'd make your season debut playing at altitude in Utah. The Lakers have a back-to-back, so he certainly wouldn't play on both sides of it. Makes then much more sense to play at home on Friday against New Orleans.
In a muster win game.
Colonel Muster. It's with a candlestick.
If that game was must win,
this is like a super double secret must win. I agree with you where I think you were going with here, that the sort of the calculus on does Anthony Davis need to play, should Anthony Davis play, is different than it is with LeBron.
Yeah. I mean, first of all, from AD's perspective, there's an element of, oh man, I did all this rehab and all this work to get myself back this season. Like, I could have done this on a different timetable if we were just going to decide I'm not going to play. Mm-hmm. So, because I'm sure he did this in the most accelerated way possible because he was trying to get this team solidly into the play-in, if nothing else, and then see what can happen next. So it's like, look, if we all knew I wasn't going to play, I'd have done this differently and, you know, that affects stuff. But also, too, like, he's supposed to be the guy that will eventually be built around moving forward.
Mm-hmm.
I think from a, you know, the psychological standpoint of who am I to this franchise? Who am I to this fan base? That calculus is different for a 28-year-old guy
with much more to prove.
Yes, that's a great way of putting it.
And I think also too, psychologically, it's going to take a minute for the stain of this season to wear away. I mean, I think it's going to be hard for the Lakers as an organization. It's going to be hard for the players. But there is a difference if Anthony Davis doesn't play another game, if he comes back and plays poorly, the tone that gets carried into the summer is a little bit different than if he comes back, plays four or five really good games. I think then, you know, you can't roll it back with what the Lakers had this year. That's not what I mean. But you can look at it and say, you know what? When Anthony Davis played, when he came back from that first injury, he was dominant for a stretch. When he came back from the second injury, he had five dominant games. If we can somehow figure out how to keep these guys on the floor and put the right cast around them, gosh darn it, Anthony Davis is a guy. We were told to keep it clean. Dang nabbit, Anthony Davis is a guy who
we don't
really
have to keep
does
it that clean. I mean, this ain't preschool. Like
chicken sticks. That was my oldest exclamatory curse when he was little. Chicken sticks.
You know, Chris Rock's been in the news lately. We don't have to go as blue and F-bomby as that guy, but it doesn't have to be.
Generally speaking, he wasn't the one who cursed.
That's true.
I'm not saying it makes everybody feel better about it. Like that's ridiculous, but it does. I think it makes a difference to him.
Yes.
And that's the part that matters the most. It's like, he's got to believe in this stuff and it's going to be an ugly offseason. It's going to be an ugly one for AD. He's going to come back into the fall with tons. Like, he had a lot to prove coming back this year. And I think it's why he's the only person on the team who took preseason seriously. And it seemed like a good idea. And it seemed like it was going to work. And just the play hasn't been there. So 4 or 5 good games from him, I think, is actually meaningful. I will say this before we break. I've seen a couple people on the YouTube channel kind of with the why bother, like why should these guys, but just shut it down. Why bother? This team's not going anywhere. And look, I think all evidence suggests that it isn't. When was the last time they won 2 games in a row, Andy?
January 7th, I believe. But if you want to really look at this like glass half full in the most forced way possible, because again, we are talking about almost 4 months, not 1-2 games in a row. I believe, I'll double check this during the next break, but I believe the last time they won 2 games in a row, it actually was part of a 4-game winning streak. I believe so. Without AD.
Let's get the fact checkers on that one. Mm. So, good thing season starts on a Tuesday, unless they lose, in which case it starts on Thursday. I don't buy that. These guys need to play. Like, you know, even if it's like avoid the humiliation of being eliminated in the play-in. No, screw that. Get into the play-in and lose there. Like, at least give yourself an opportunity, just because it's not like it's that much more less embarrassing to not make the play-in at all. At least you don't lose that nationally televised playoff game or whatever people call it. But like, no, I don't buy that for a heartbeat that it's somehow worse to just not get in than it is to whatever. Like, they've earned their embarrassment for the year. Go play the stupid game and see if you can get yourself into a first round series.
Yeah, it's, you know, all,
you know, you don't get off that easy. You don't get to just like, you know, just lay down and die. Like, in some ways I feel like you have to, because we've all gone through this. Give up.
Yeah.
Like, the more I think of, you can tell I'm getting angrier as I think about it, like that, like somehow they would get to skip out on the play-in game. They play, screw it. It's not worth it. Like, who cares if we get, I care, damn it. Like, get into that stupid game.
Yeah. And, you know,
we'll see what happens.
Yeah. You know what this is, Brian? We're essentially grounding the Lakers.
Yes.
And their punishment has to be extended.
Yes.
And this is not going to be like one of those times where, as parents, you start feeling bad for your kids and you end the punishment early. They're not dead because you feel like they've learned their lesson. They're not going to learn their lesson until we are done having to watch this.
It's
whole
very
thing.
Much. It's like, it's without naming names, it's very much how we talk about certain members of Congress who keep getting removed from committees, mm-hmm. where like, that's actually what they want. Like, we should make them sit on extra committees. That's
how you punish these people. Brian, it's like my theory about the All-Star game. The only guys who should not have to play in it are the guys who actually make the team. Everybody else
should have,
like the other 300 players, they should have to play in it because they're the only ones not good enough mm-hmm. to get in. Why should they get the rest? Yes. And also, okay. I was correct. January 7th. That was
there you go. Which is just like, that's right around the corner. Like mm-hmm. the 4-month anniversary. Let's ride high through that one. Okay. Lakers social media, it was discovered, Andy, has as our Kenny Beecham on Twitter at KOT4Q noted, they've got some explaining to do. We'll explain why and try to get to the LeBron and the Razzies next.
Locked On Lakers brought to you by rockauto.com. With the ever-increasing numbers of makes and models out there, it is impossible to stock all the parts you need in a traditional chain storefront. And why would you spend 30%, 50%, 100% more for the exact same auto parts at a chain store or new car dealership anyway,
I don't know. You ask that always, and I never have a good answer for it.
You rube? Yeah, no, there is no good answer. You know why? Because you can get it for way less at rockauto.com. For example, Honda Odyssey fuel pump. $353 from a chain store. It's only $216 from Rock Auto. They are a family business, rockauto.com. They have been serving auto part customers online for 20 years. So whether it's for a classic or a daily driver, get everything you need in a few easy clicks delivered directly to your door. Go to rockauto.com right now. See all the parts available for your car or truck. Write Locked On in the How Did You Hear About Us box so they know we sent you. Amazing selection, reliably low prices, all the parts your car will ever need. rockauto.com.
Okay, so as is standard operating procedure now for every team around the league, Andy, when the Lakers win or lose, they post a final score on the Lakers' official Twitter feed, and they send that thing out to everyone who follows Lakers. Lakers have a massive social media following, one of the most successful social media teams out there. And it was noted...
At least they won something this year.
That's right. It was noticed...
They are really good, for real.
You know, they do a great work. And what was found out, discovered... was that the Lakers, whose face they put on the little card, the picture that they use for a winning game or a losing game, has some fantastic patterns to it.
Yeah, a guy, Kenny Beecham on Twitter, at KOT4K, he noticed a post.
Not just some guy, by the way. He's got 350,000 Twitter followers.
Yes, he noticed from someone named Depressed Laker Fan, a post that said, told you, they ain't putting LeBron's pick on an L, final tweet score. I wonder if he has that in his contract, LMAO. So Kenny did some detective work, and he went through the Lakers' entire Twitter feed after wins and losses, and he discovered that LeBron, in fact, has never been used his face for a pick for any of the Lakers' 43 losses. It turns out, Brian, the clubhouse leader for their pick in the post-game loss thread is Malik Monk. He has been used in 10 of the 43 losses, double the next guy. The next two closest guys are either THT or Wayne Ellington, who frankly feels like an innocent bystander in all this. Like,
when has Wayne Ellington played enough to be part of a law, yeah, like any storyline? Like,
he's a
to the point where you'd even think of, let's put Wayne in here as opposed to just like, unless it's him in his warm-up.
Yeah.
Watching the game with everyone else.
Yeah, Wayne's a nice guy, a veteran. He's a fringe rotation guy. It seems unnecessary in his case. And then conversely, how often has LeBron been used when they win? It turns out a lot. In the 33 wins that the Lakers have, LeBron has his photo 10 times. Mm-hmm. So that's like a third of their wins have been LeBron. Next closest is Russ with 9. And then from there, only two guys have been used three times, or twice, I believe. It's Monk and Melo. Okay.
Yeah, everybody else gets a onesie.
Yeah.
Including Anthony Davis, by the way, which says both, it's both a statement on kind of how disappointing the level of play has been, and also how infrequently the Lakers have had the opportunity to use a winning card, and also how infrequently they've had the opportunity to use a winning card in a game where Davis actually played.
Yeah, and excuse me, Melo and Monk three times each, yes, in wins. But you can see that Malik Monk has been used really an outsized amount, his photo to accompany a loss on the Lakers social feed, while Russell Westbrook has been used quite a bit in wins, a member of the big three. Also, LeBron, AD, and Russ never used in a loss.
Mm-hmm.
And something jumped out at me, Brian, in terms of why this matters. The Lakers want to keep Malik Monk. They are using his picture way too often for somebody that it's not going to be easy to keep to begin with because of salary cap rules and the limits that they can pay him compared to other teams.
Russ. Yeah, you don't want to make it seem like we're blaming you.
Yes.
Like these 10 losses, Malik, are on you.
No, Malik is 24 years old. You know he's up in his mentions. You know that he's somebody that pays attention to this sort of stuff. And he's going to have suitors around the league. Like, if I'm a GM taking meetings with Monk this offseason, I make sure to mention this. Conversely, Brian, Russ, a guy that they really want to get rid of, he's been in way too many post-win tweets. Like, this is bad long-term planning by the Lakers.
It's prime real estate, too. Like, they should recognize you don't get a lot of opportunities for these. You have to maximize them. And, like, do I think it's possible you could get Russell Westbrook to turn down a $47 million option just by putting his face on loss cards? I don't, but it's worth a try.
Oh.
You know? I mean, it's a novel way to do it. Russ, we disagree all the time on how much we think Russ pays attention to this kind of thing and how much he notices these little signals from the organization and from fans and all this other stuff. if he thought he was, and I think he notices a lot, if he thought the Lakers were blaming him for all 726 losses they've had this year, I think he might turn down that option.
Brian.
Yes.
He should be used in every loss pick, all of them, in a way that feels personal. Like, it shouldn't be just one pick of Russ accompanying the
score. It should be a montage.
Oh, it should be a collage. It needs to be an absolute collage of Russ photos. Like, you need to make him say, as a matter of principle, I'm opting out of this $47 million. I don't need this team's blood money.
Nope.
Like, sure, I probably can't get even half of that from another team moving forward.
Third.
But this is about pride.
Yes.
And self-respect.
They should Photoshop, Andy, deep fake, like turnover photos. They should pay other teams to put Russ in their loss cards. Like, well, everywhere, it's Russ's fault.
You know what this is, Brian? That's them disrespecting his last name by them using the name Westbrook to accompany losing.
Memes with Russ building.
That's way worse than Westbrook. That's way worse. I mean, that's a betrayal from the Lakers. I don't know why they're not doing this.
Anyway, it's just another of a series of failures the Lakers have engaged in this year. We will get to this week. We tweeted it out at Cam Brothers. Eric Pincus at Bleacher Report, who everybody knows very much as a capologist, a guy who really understands the ins and outs of the detail work that goes into being an effective NBA GM. He is, I think, Andy, you would agree, very careful in how he writes, in how he speaks. He goes out of his way to make sure he's not doing hot take anything. By Eric Pincus standards, my reading of it, he wrote a story about Rob Pelinka and the steps that took the Lakers from title to here being disaster, impending doom, in a very short amount of time. That is, in a measured and quiet and straightforward and non-showy way, feels like Eric Pincus lighting El Segundo on fire. We are going to talk about this this story throughout the week and into the offseason. It is a really good piece of work. We'll tweet it out again. But that's coming up. We'll see how the Lakers do Tuesday. We'll see what their health looks like. We'll see if they fall into that 11 spot and if they can stay in the top 10. Andy, we got a lot to do.
Real quick, too. LeBron didn't deserve two Razzies.
That's true. Space Jam is not a good movie, but it's not that bad either.
No, it's not that bad. In the meantime, you know what? He still gets the last laugh, him and all the guys over at Spring Hill, because the movie made a lot of money and Spring Hill just got some type of investment of close to $1 billion. So yeah, he can give everybody double middle fingers.
I don't think he much cares about
it. Felt a little harsh, though.
It did. It's not that bad. It's not that bad a movie.
No, it is not
that good. It's not a good movie, but it's not that bad either.
No, it's not
Razzie bad. It's not that bad. The season gets a Razzie.
Yeah.
But the movie does not. Lock and
Lakers. Although LeBron wouldn't get a Razzie for this season either.
No, but he would accept the award because, he's LeBron. He's the front man.
Yeah, I guess you'd have to.
Yeah, him, because Lord knows Rob's not going to do it. So Locked On Lakers on YouTube. Make sure you subscribe to that and make another Locked On podcast your second listen after making us your first. We'll see everyone after Tuesday's game.